Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Welcome to the Kaleidoscope Podcast, where the Lorehound's your guides to a multicolor heist. I'm John.
And I'm David, and this is our coverage of the Netflix original series Kaleidoscope, the red episode, the morning after the heist. Each podcast will cover an episode of this unique show that allows you to watch in any order you want. We will avoid spoilers for the other episodes on each podcast until the final episode, which is white for all viewers. Check the show notes for our full watch order.
In this episode, we'll be doing a scene-by-scene breakdown of the episode titled Red. As Netflix has randomized the viewing order for each user, be sure to manually select each episode if you want to follow along with us.
A reminder, you can send us your feedback to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com or leave us a voicemail at thelorehounds.com/contact. And we'll get those emails and voicemails for our season wrap-up podcast, which is now going to be combined with the White episode, and that will air on Saturday, January 28th.
If you want to keep talking Kaleidoscope with us, join us over at the Bald Move Discord, link in the show notes and at baldmove.com. We have a well-moderated server and dedicated threads set up for Kaleidoscope. Each episode is siloed, so you can join the conversations at any time without worry of spoilers.
A last quick reminder, our Patreon. If you like what we're doing and you kind of want to support us directly, check us out at patreon.com/thelorehound. For just $3 a month, you get ad-free versions of all of our podcasts, early access, and more.
Of course, you can still get our ad-supported podcasts on our Lorehounds feed by searching for us on your podcast application of choice or using our fancy new subscription tool on our website, thelorehounds.com. So, David, we're doing Red today. How'd you feel about it?
This one was interesting. I think it ranks probably in the upper tier of the middle episodes for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is like one of my least favorite.
Oh, excellent. I love it. It's good for the podcast when we have opposing opinions. If Red, you know, if for whatever reason, Red was your first episode, this would be a hell of an episode to come in on.
Good or bad, though? That's my question.
Good or bad, what do you mean?
Would it be a good episode to come in on or a bad episode to come in on?
I think it would be good. I think it would be very challenging and sort of like, what the heck is going on here with these characters and the conflict? And like, you get some pretty big set pieces there, like with Carlos and his crew and stuff going on in the vault. I think it would be an interesting way. I don't know that I would want it to be the first one, but I think it's a very interesting prospect if it was the first one.
Okay.
I like that we're getting some, you know, the tension is mounting among the crew. We've got two whole actors missing from this entire episode. You know, we just don't see two of the people. Like, that's a real head scratcher. Yeah, and I just thought that the stakes and the energy and the pacing of this was not bad, right? You know, I said, it's middle of the pack, but it's sort of in the upper middle of the pack. What did you think?
Well, I don't think any episode of the show has been bad. I just think that this is one of the more mediocre episodes of the season.
Fair enough.
You know, it's just like, it's a lot of like, oh man, everything's crazy. And like, I recently read a book that annoyed me because it was all climax and no like arc. There was no arc to it.
Interesting. Okay.
And I feel like that was almost this episode. It was like everything was like high stress, high stakes.
Sure.
To the point where like it started to feel dull for me.
Got it. I could see that. Yep. I can see that.
If it's all rise and no fall, it becomes boring. It becomes this like stagnant thing. You need something to change. You need the tone to be contrasted somewhere to make it feel like a good story. And I don't think this episode did that for me.
Right. I think it very much is a bridge episode. It's getting you through, it's resolving a bunch of sequences that have already been started and they don't necessarily conclude here, at least some of the major ones. So yeah, I can get that. I get that.
Right. But the problem is the bridges here have to operate like the staircases in Harry Potter, where they move and change, and they might not bring you to the place that you want to go, depending on where you end up on them.
Right.
So, yeah, I wasn't my favorite episode. I didn't hate it. It was fine.
Fair enough. All right. So we jump into our outline.
Let's do it.
Okay. But I don't know what to call these opens. They're not cold opens in this. Anyway, we open and we've got Leo, Ava, Stan, and Judy not looking great, making their way on the ocean in a red-hulled boat. It's a red episode. And then we get a voiceover of Leo talking about how things have gone wrong. The voiceover continues as we flash back to Leo getting to the workshop after the heist, getting rid of some evidence and collecting some money from a safe, and then to a scene of Leo underwater in the vault, seemingly trapped, but somehow able to get free. And then he makes his way through the SLS offices, past the unconscious body of Carlos, out of the lobby of the 505 building, and into a vehicle which wraps around to the scene of him arriving back to the workshop. So this has got a voiceover and sort of stitches together several out-of-time sequences.
All right. So the underwater scene was the kind of interesting part. It was like, how did Leo end up underwater? Why was he the last one there?
Right.
Why was he there underwater at all? Like, how did this place flood?
Right.
So that's the most interesting part of it. That'll be answered at some point, but... Again, I don't know if it's interesting or just I lack the information.
Sure. One criticism that I had was I was like, how the heck did he get free? I mean, we're seeing him trapped underwater and losing his air and he can't get, you know, up. And then suddenly he's, you know, breaching the surface and he's free. And we're not sure what's going on. And later on, and I'll point it out when we get to that scene, there's a reason why, but it's like so not obvious and it is so lost among the details, but I understand now how he got his foot out of the trap of the gate.
Well, Leo's physical ability has been really wibbly wobbly throughout the season.
Sure. Yeah.
Like that's something that I want to talk about on the white episode. It's just like, I don't know if there was a consistency to that.
Yeah. We do know that he's in the water sometimes in other episodes, so I mean, there's that. Over the opening credits, we see Leo driving through the city and hearing news on the radio about the aftermath of the storm. We jump cut to him taking money out of the workshop safe and being confronted by Judy, who also arrives back at the workshop. We begin to learn that they are blown and that they don't know where the truck is or the bonds are, and Judy theorizes that there is a rat.
Judy knows how the life of crime goes. I think Judy is probably the smartest person on the team, right? Maybe Leo.
From a criminal standpoint. Not her personal life, but in terms of her criminality.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's the chemist. She, she is very well versed in the politics of criminality, like you said.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think that she is just like, all right, this didn't go wrong without someone betraying us.
Right.
Because everything went right up to that point, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think she's willing to look past her husband's potential complications in the plot of the heist. but that things went so wrong that there had to be an additional element that's not just her husband.
Right. Exactly. Leo is really running here. Leo is scared. You could tell.
Well, he's trying to work the plan, right? Like the plan is... You know, in 3 days, meet at this lake house cabin, and then we'll, like, all figure it out. That's the smart thing to do, right? I mean, Leo's experienced. He's disciplined. Yeah, and Judy's willing to, I mean, she's the one, you know, she can run a con. She's really bold in the face of danger. And Leo has no credibility here with anybody. Like, I mean, yeah, it's like everybody's turning on each other here. The, you know, the rats trying to jump ship here.
Leo's big advantage with leading these people was that he had a huge carrot to dangle.
That's a good point.
And that carrot is gone.
Yeah.
And Leo has not bonded with any of these people because he was basically the teacher. He was the teacher at detention.
Right.
And I don't think that anyone except maybe Stan has any warmth for him.
Or Ava, right?
But sure. But I don't even count her as part of the crew. She's just like,
sure. Right.
They're inseparable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Stan, well, in later, we even see Stan's relationship with Leo break down, which that's kind of the next scene. Stan shows up having been dropped off by a ride share, which is funny.
What an idiot.
Judy seems happy to see him, but then he confronts her about the whereabouts of Bob and RJ. She deflects by saying the bonds are missing. Stan accuses Bob of stealing them.
Honestly, good guess.
Yes.
Because he's the most unsavory character.
Right. And the one who's been pushing the issues of how much and who gets what the whole time. So.
Yeah.
He's a loose cannon, yeah, literally.
He's just not a great guy. I mean, called him the Australian devil in the past. I stand by that.
All right. Yeah, but here we get to see, we really start to see the breakdown of the crew. And I think you put your finger perfectly on it. Leo, regardless of how experienced he is as an operator, he worked with Roger, and I mean, well, what they showed us was just him and Roger at some point. He's been a largely solo operator, I guess. And I think you're right; he hasn't built any esprit de corps among the crew. They've all just tolerated each other because of $7 billion in bonds.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that's the trouble with something like this. Once the job is done, how do you keep everybody together?
Yeah.
You just have a bunch of greedy people who have very loose moralities,
yeah,
at each other's throats.
So next we see Roger and then Hannah arrive at the 505 building, sort of at the end of the storm. They find Carlos, who is waking up from his little nappy poo, and they begin examining the scene of the heist. The FBI arrive in the lobby.
I thought Carlos was dead at the beginning.
I thought he was too. Totally.
But no, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's just fine.
And then how does the FBI know to show up? Like, that's a big question mark right there.
Yeah, good question. Right?
Yeah. Hannah confronts agents Abbasi and Toby and confirms that there's nothing amiss. Roger later comes down to the lobby and backs her up. After they get the FBI to leave, Roger avoids a call from Stefan Thiele. Who's one of the bond holders, I guess you could say. Abbasi and Toby leave and hatch a plan to track the truck. So a lot of just setup stuff here, just transitional, moving the plot along.
Do they know that lying to the FBI is a federal crime?
I think they do. I think they do, but they probably feel above the law in many respects.
Sure. I mean, definitely Roger, but does Hannah? Yes. I mean, that's a little sticky.
Hannah, yeah. I don't know. Hannah's got she's got some spine, you know? She's willing to God, what can we say and what we can't say about Hannah? But yeah, I think she's got a lot of moxie and some good reasons. Back at the workshop, Leo tries to convince Stan and Judy that they need to flee. The scene is intercut with shots of a dive team in the vault. They realize that Stan's glasses are missing, and we see the dive team find them.
This dive team has to be careful, or Elon Musk is going to start tweeting about them.
God. Yes, that's an unfortunate situation. That's
a deep cut.
That is a very deep cut
from weird Twitter scandals from like 2 years ago.
From like 2 years ago. Yeah, more than 2 years ago, in fact, I think.
I don't know. COVID made all the time weird.
Yeah, right. There's just a big sort of wrinkle in the timescape, in the timeline. pretty extraordinary to be able to get a fully kitted out dive team at the end of a hurricane into your offices that fast. But hey, you know, SLS has some resources. They can move people and materials around pretty quickly.
Well, and if you are dealing with people who you know could kill you in a second,
right?
Then you spend whatever you need to spend.
That's
if
right.
You have it. Like,
that's
you, right. You just spare no expense getting their money back.
So this is, I guess, Chekhov's glasses that Stan loses here.
This guy, prolific, Chekhov. Yeah, yeah. They're, again, a lot of just threads that are placed in different episodes. And I think we should make a list of things that are like...
Oh, my God.
At least themes, maybe a few references. I don't think we should go through everything, but I think it'd be fun to track a few things.
Okay.
On the White episode.
All right, combining a few shorter scenes together here, Abbasi and Toby review video of the truck driving around Manhattan. They figure out that whoever is driving the truck is trying to get off of Manhattan because of all the bridge closures. They then dig into Roger's background and find his false identity. And then they make the connection between Ray and Roger, Ray, aka Leo.
I love how everybody has a high school yearbook that's like looking everybody up. I mean,
I love
it's a little too cute sometimes.
The FBI's search tool is incredible, right? Just to have all those articles like starting to throw up, you know, pop on your screen like that. I wish Google was that good.
I know, right? I mean, I don't know. This is like, I don't know. I feel like it would have taken in the real world Abbasi like weeks of pouring through
right.
documents to figure this out.
Yeah, exactly.
And instead she's like, all right, well, I'm going to hit enter, and then my computer is going to pop up what I need.
It's like the very, well, I don't know how famous the trope is, but it's computer enhance, and like it sort of zooms in on the photograph and reconstructs all the detail and stuff. Although we are actually kind of getting to that stage of things with AI now.
Well, let's hope they don't figure out how to make podcasts.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords, but... I digress. Come
for the record.
just let me keep podcasting. I'll be fine.
I'd like to be placed in the nice matrix.
Yes.
the one with the ocean side view.
Mm-hmm. Another set of combined scenes here. Roger does some deep thinking while he looks over the evidence left behind at the heist. He and Hannah try to convince Stefan Thiele that everything is okay. Stefan says that he'll be by in the morning to check on his goods. Hannah tries to console Roger and says that she will make sure that he gets everything he deserves. Roger makes the connection between the eye doctor and Stan. Okay, so this is where when Roger is sitting at his desk and they're cut scene, like the camera is like cutting between different objects on Roger's desk.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't notice it at first, but you know, while I was doing the outline and sort of backing, you know, scrubbing along the timeline and stuff, right, we see the sort of fake token object that they use to unlock the vault. We see the acoustic whatever device that they use to listen to the locks. We see Stan's glasses. There's one thing that we see there that I didn't understand what it was because of the way that it was placed and the way it looks. It is the neoprene rubber dive boot So remember, Leo is wearing that sort of pseudo camouflage style B-suit wetsuit. Well, what I think happened was his foot got stuck in the gate and then his foot slipped out of the booty.
Okay.
And so that booty left behind, and that was now sitting on Roger's desk. So that's how he was able to...
So the booty...
Yes, the booty.
...was left down there while he took the booty with him.
Don't make me laugh because I'm going to start coughing and you're going to have to do a whole bunch of editing to get my coughs out.
Fair enough.
Booty.
All right, let's go on.
So, interesting that Hannah, like, it's not that Hannah says, oh, you know, it'll be fine. We'll get through it, everything like that. But she says something very specific about getting what he deserves. And I was like, what does that mean? That's a very odd comment to make.
Because that could be taken either way.
Yeah. It's very strange. It's not what, you know, what you would say is like, oh no, we'll get through it. We'll figure it out. It'll be everything okay. I got your back. I'm here for you. What do you deserve? Like what that doesn't make any sense. So, okay. Next up, Leo, Stan, and Judy continue to debate their next steps, none of them trusting each other. Judy clues in to Leo's real motivation for the heist, which they don't really talk about, but they just sort of hint at.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of the story of the whole series, right? I think we've talked about in other episodes, this is the story of a heist, but it's also the story of revenge.
Yeah.
I think that Judy kind of sees through Leo at this point.
She's finally getting it. And I think it goes back to your other earlier point, which is this crew isn't held together by a singular motivation. There's another motivation that doesn't belong to the crew, and that's revenge.
Yep.
And so that's because that's driving a whole bunch of that kind of stuff or their action, that once things start to fall apart, there's no cohesive center. It's just about one man's revenge. I brought you all here to help me get revenge on this other asshole.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think that's right.
Yeah. Pretending to be a police detective, Carlos, the henchman, shows up at Stan's family butcher shop. Stan's wife, Barbara, tries to play things cool, but Stan's mother interjects herself and says that they can find him using their cell phones. Barbara pretends not to find him and arms herself with a knife. Carlos murders both of them and uses Barbara's face to unlock her phone.
This was the most boomer thing I've ever witnessed.
Ouch. Okay, generational warfare on.
Oh, yeah, no, we can do that. It's just like, oh, my God, do not be helpful. No, this is something, I don't know if my mom is ever going to listen to this podcast, but like,
let's hope not.
My mom likes to talk to people on the subway when she would visit me in Manhattan.
God, no, you don't.
And I was like, do not talk to people on the subway.
Don't do that. That's not what you do.
They either are normal and don't want to talk to you,
right,
or they want to talk to you and they're not normal. And
that's a good framework. I have to remember that.
She did not listen to me.
No.
She's fine. She's fine. And I don't live there anymore. So we're all good.
We're all good.
But like, this gave me the same vibe of like, oh yeah, we could use our cell phones.
And it really, I mean, the swiftness at which Carlos just sort of sticks the phone in front of her dying face really is like, oh yeah, that's shocking. Like your face can be used anytime with or without your consent.
Yeah, that is troubling.
Yeah.
That is troubling. I know we've talked about that before. The one thing is like, you're supposed to be like focused on it. And I guess like, you know, I'll say this, like sometimes I wear glasses and sometimes if I wake up in the morning and I have my glasses on, I'm a little disheveled. My phone won't work with Face ID.
Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know if this would actually work if you're like dead and glazed over and your eyes are closed or like, just, you know, all the wrong way, if this would actually work with Face ID. But I think that at least shows are starting to play around with the idea that this is something that is a threat.
Right. Yeah, I don't have Face ID on certain apps. I do it for the general unlock, but certain things, yeah, I definitely have not added Face ID. I know I don't want you to be able to unlock my car with my face.
Yeah.
Pretty cold-blooded, Carlos, here. I mean, if this was your first episode and Carlos shows up, he's not a nice man.
Wouldn't want to mess with that guy. All right, David, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll head back over to the FBI offices.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
And we're back. David, take us back into the world of Kaleidoscope.
Alrighty, agents Abbasi and Toby prepare their information so that they can get a warrant, and they debate if Toby should remove himself from the proceedings to avoid getting into trouble because Abbasi has been doing this without authorization.
You young kid, you got a whole career ahead of you.
Yes.
I think that there's some Good Will Hunting vibe. I've said that in a different episode, but just like the delivery of Abbasi is a little too Good Will Hunting for me.
All right, as dawn breaks at the workshop, Ava arrives with the truck, to everyone's surprise, and the bonds, ? Judy and Stan start unloading the lockboxes while Leo patches up Ava, who's wounded, and who explains that she had to make a break for it because nobody else was around. She reveals that she saw Bob's body in the street. Upset, Judy drops one of the boxes, revealing them to be full of colored paper, not bonds. Bum, 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 twist.
Yeah, this was a good twist, I thought, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
This was like, oh, man, they got the bonds, and then they just didn't.
Yeah. And at the height of tension, where everybody's sort of like grinding on each other and sniping at each other.
Right. And I think that it is suspicious that Ava comes after being gone for a long time.
She couldn't get off the island.
I know, but like, yeah, well, they to don't everybody know else.
Yeah, right.
She's just like showing up with the bonds subbed out, very confident that she has the bonds, and that's that.
Yeah, it's nobody is clean. Like, everybody's alibi is suspect.
Yeah, it's the Spider-Man meme, right?
Right, yes, exactly.
They're everybody's all pointing at each other.
Exactly, that's perfect. All right, as tensions mount and Judy tries to leave with what few bonds there are, Ava pulls a gun on her, and for a moment, it's Reservoir Dogs, with everybody pointing guns at everyone else.
Oh, it's so silly.
Yeah. Carlos and his men arrive, and a shootout ensues. Stan is taken hostage, and the crew pulls a nice short con and finishes off Carlos and his men. I thought this was clever.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. That was a fun scene. Not a lot to say about it. It was just fun.
Yeah, high stakes. Good. I mean, it was a good action shootout. I mean, I think it's some of them, sometimes these shootouts get a little bit involved and a little bit silly, but this was pretty straightforward. You know, people get shot, they go down. I mean, even though Stan gets sort of a graze on his ear, it still hurts and there's blood and he's starting to go into shock, right? Like, that all, you know, it's not like he's like a Superman and can just, you know, keep rolling.
Yeah. I do like when they make these people mortal.
Yeah, and somebody's shooting at you, like, the first thing your instinct is to duck and hide and get out of the line of fire. I don't know how Judy knew that Leo was in the Murphy bed safe thing, but I thought it was a cool twist. I was like, oh my God, how are they going to get out of this? And I liked that they didn't drag it out, right? She was just like, hey, there's a key in a safe, and he's like, take me there now, and they just resolved it. I like the pacing in this, that they don't let things linger or drag out.
Yeah. Well, how can you when each episode needs to be standalone?
Yeah, that's true. The crew flees to their red escape boat as the FBI arrives at the workshop to find only bodies. Hannah and Roger leave the office, and they walk out with a FedEx delivery driver. Hannah is picked up by Sister Kim, and Abasi and Toby serve Roger a search warrant. I got water on the brain.
Yeah, I got my warrant. I came back with my warrant. She really needs to be smoking a cigarette in every single scene.
That's right, and flick it, you know, flick ashes all over the place and flick the butts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did you think that Roger thought that they could not get a warrant?
Yeah, I mean, they are the FBI after all.
I don't know. The FBI usually has a lot of pull, don't they?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you can't, you know, if they're on you like that, you got to assume that they're coming for you.
Yeah, maybe he thought that he could work it out by the time they got back.
Right. Right.
Because, you know, you usually gotta go for a judge, you gotta, you know, have a little hearing. So.
Exigent circumstances. If this was your first episode, would you know who is driving Hannah away? I don't think, we don't see Sister Kim at all in this episode, so you wouldn't know. So this wouldn't work, really. I don't know, this is a tough episode to fit into the order.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think they name her at all.
No, she's just there. Well, she's just in the car.
Sorry, everyone, that's Kim.
Yeah, her name's Kim.
Not a huge spoiler.
Roger takes the FBI agents now to the now cleaned up vault. They got that cleaned up real fast. Roger plays off the empty safes, claiming that they had already moved the contents to another location out of abundance of precaution. Abasi demands to see the one closed safe, which is Roger's personal vault. They open it up and a gush of water comes out, and then, cliffhanger. As they all stare into the vault, and Agent Abasi asks Roger, what is that doing there? And he replies, I would like to talk to my lawyer.
What did you think about the cliffhanger? Like, did you think that they should have shown what it was?
You know, I knew it was going to pay. I knew they were going to pay off because there's only one episode left, and that was going to be the big, you know, sort of twist. There is, at the beginning of this scene, or not the scene, but the beginning of this episode, there is a scene of Roger taking some stuff out of a vault. So they mirror this, they mirror the beginning of this episode with the ending scene of this episode. And if you watch, he takes, you know, he's going, he's checking the money and the passports and all that kind of stuff. But then he takes out a white bag, a small white bag from it. And I only noticed that on the rewatch, but it's a definite tie-in as to what's in this personal vault of Roger. So you could safely theorize that this has something to do with the revenge plot.
Yeah, I think that it would have been nice for them to show it here. Because it would have connected to other episodes. And
right.
Yeah.
Left you less feeling of cliffhangy.
Yeah. I thought it was a little cheap. I think, you know, Aaron has said this before, but like a good cliffhanger does not make you think what, but how, right? And if you knew what it was, you could be like, how did it end up there? I think that's cooler than what is it?
That's a good point. I like that. Yeah. I'll take that in future. Yeah, because we're just left with a big, like, with their three sort of faces going, And then we just know that it's like, oh, okay, now I have to watch the white episode. So, like, it's like forcing me. It's forced me as opposed to enticed me.
If you are this far in and you don't watch the white episode, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's true. We cut back to the crew licking their wounds on the boat while the 1971 song, Can You Get to That by Funkadelic, and featured on the iconic Maggot Brain album plays, and I'm going to read the lyrics here. I once had a life, or rather, life had me. I was one among many, or at least I seemed to be. Well, I read an old quotation in a book just yesterday, said, gonna reap just what you sow, the debts you make you have to pay. Can you get to that? And I think that is a nice summation of what these characters are going to have to do. They've had to pay for all of their transgressions and meanness and, you know, being revengey.
I sympathize with very few people on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's on purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, I can, like, sympathize with them for a scene. But as far as, like, a whole arc, I'm like, all right, this is a bunch of assholes, right?
Yeah, it's true. Right.
It's very, just, it is what it is.
Very few redeeming qualities. I'm curious, what did you think of the song?
It was good. It was good. It was, I used to like the little funky stuff. I don't think I've ever heard this song before, but it's, it was a good fitting thing.
Are you familiar with Funkadelic?
I am not.
Okay. So Funkadelic is an amazing band, started by George Clinton, and Bootsy Collins was part of it. It was a big sort of collective band thing. Are you familiar with Parliament or P-Funk?
No.
Okay. Psychedelic rock, funk, 70s, into the 80s. And I would implore you to go check out an album called Maggot Brain. And the opening song, Maggot Brain, is one of the best guitar solos that there has ever been recorded in rock history. So all my Funkadelic, I'm not a huge music file person. I'm not a big huge music historian, but I do enjoy me some Funkadelic. So I know there's a few of our listeners out there that probably do as well.
If you think I should listen to this, tweet at me. If you think I shouldn't, tweet at me.
The opening lyric. Don't let the opening lyrics of Maggot Brain freak you out. Just get past that. Maggot Brain, yes. It is okay. It's all iconic. Right. I have tasted the maggots in the mind of the universe, and I was not offended. For I knew I had to rise above it all or drown my own shit. Come on, man.
This sounds like Maggot Brain.
No, it's great because it gets a little spacey, and then it's just like this awesome guitar solo. So it's very cool.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll do a Twitter poll.
Okay. I like it. Make John listen to Maggot Brain.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on this episode, David?
No, I think that's it. I think I'm ready for the white episode, to be honest.
My brain is empty about this show.
Yeah.
I'm in the Last of Us mode. It's hard to get through this at this point. And I am glad that the next episode is our last one because I'm out of things to say about these people.
But we're professionals, so we see it through to the end.
Truly. All right, so let's give a thank you to our Loremaster patrons, which is an ever-growing assembly of heroes.
Surprising.
I know. We put this tier there. This is our most expensive tier. This is $10 a month. We said, no one's going to do this, but we figure we'll give people the opportunity because, you know what, a shout-out's fun, and if somebody's really passionate about supporting us, and, you know, great, it's there for them.
Well, and it goes to retailing, too, right? You got to have, like, typically three options and funnel people into the middle option, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah,
we didn't think about it that hard.
Okay.
But you did, apparently.
I did.
But anyway, we've had some Martian, Mark H., and Michael G., longtime supporters. Really appreciate you. Cyrus is a longtime listener, but recent lore master. And thank you for that. And then today, you sent me a Discord message. You said, John, we've got another lore master. We have David W.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you, David W. Yeah.
Thank you all. And thank you to all our patrons. It really makes it easier to justify this to our partners, to the people in our lives who are like, why are you recording right now?
Yeah.
And, you know, to the world. So thank you very much for helping us make this a sustainable effort.
All right. So we've got one episode of Kaleidoscope left, the white episode. As we mentioned at the top of the episode, we're going to combine our season wrap with the white episode, and that's going to drop Saturday, January 28th.
But on to the main entree. We've got The Last of Us over on HBO, and we've started our full coverage. Alongside Bald Move is also doing full coverage. Our episodes are dropping every Wednesday, and we're doing a full recap. We're doing our classic lore master, you know, full coverage lore bits. David, you talked about fungi for 10 minutes.
Yes, that was amazing. A fun. Yes. What did the girl mushroom say to the guy about it? I think I already told that joke. You're a fun guy.
I think we told it together.
That. Yes. And
told it together.
What did the guy mushroom say to the girl mushroom?
I don't know.
I'm a liking you. Sorry, bad dad jokes. Bad dad jokes. We're both dads, so, you know, hey.
It's true. But yeah, no, David, I feel like you're jazzed up about this show. And I'm definitely jazzed up about this show. So this is a really fun one to cover.
Feels good to be behind the microphone on a well-crafted TV show.
This is some prestige stuff, guys. I mean, even if you're not a fan of video games, this is just like David, you're not a fan of video games, but this is just like the cream of the crop, dramatic writing, acting, production value, everything.
Yeah, it's a really good drama, really good people. Yeah, the world in conflict with itself, dealing with this, you know, catastrophic situation, and it gets very personal and it gets very real. And so, it's exactly what I want from a television show.
Right. So you can find our first episode's coverage on our Firehose feed right now. And then every Wednesday thereafter. Also, if you want more Last of Us coverage, Bald Move, Jim and Aaron are covering it on Tuesday with an instant talk, which is where you can talk to them right after the episode every Sunday night. And they are doing a feedback episode every Thursday, probably, because this seems like it's a popular show. I mean, everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of buzz.
Lastly, this month, we have Silmarillion stories coming out on Monday the 30th. We'll be reading of The Beginning of Days and of Aule and Yavanna. And on February 3rd, we have a Star Wars episode coming out with our thoughts on the first 5 episodes of The Bad Batch, along with news about upcoming show coverage and general Star Wars chatter.
I got to go watch Bad Batch episode 4 right after we finish recording here.
I heard it was good.
Good. I'm enjoying the season so far.
Me too.
I'm excited to talk about it when we get there next week.
Same here. I mean, the animation has been incredible, and that's an accomplishment in itself because 3D animation has been lacking for a long time.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us on this multicolored journey. John, we'll see you on the next episode.
Yeah. Well, we'll be there to talk full spoilers and take any feedback that comes in. See you next week. The Lorehounds podcast is produced by the Lorehounds and published by Bald Move. You can get ad-free and early versions of these episodes at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Connect with us on Twitter @thelorehounds.
You can send questions and feedback about this podcast to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com.
Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.